All right, we are recording. Welcome to Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew 2008 version. And we are on 1 Samuel, right in the middle of chapter 20. We're ready to begin at verse 19. All right. And remember, Jonathan and David are trying to come up with a plan to save David's life, really. They're trying to find out what Saul's final determination is regarding David. And if you will recall, when we finished up, we'll start back at verse 18. It's the time for the celebration of the new moon, in which evidently they sit together and have a feast over the course of several nights. And if you just go back to verse 18, Jonathan said to him, Vayomer lo yo Natan, tomorrow is the Chodesh. So Machar, tomorrow is the Chodesh, the new moon celebration. Ven nifkadta, and you will be missed. For yipaked moshaveka, for your seat, that's from Yashav, for your seat, Yipakeh will be empty. All right. So notice, yeah, again, with this kind of shows you once again how real languages work, in that you have the same root pakad nifal, which we have to give two different English meanings to make sense. Remember, they had already planned that David was not going to be present at this banquet, and through him not being there, then they were going to test it out and see what Saul's attitude is. So that's what verse 18 is. They had already talked about David not being there, his seat being empty. All right. So then we take it up verse 19. Veshalashta tered me'od. Okay, now this first verb, shalashta, notice it's from the a root that you know that means the word, the number three. And so it means something like to do something on the third day. All right. And so notice it's compressed really with the next word, which is a verb, tered, and you know that root from yarad, a call imperfect, to go down. And then me'od functions as an adverb, modifying tered. And so it's something like... And I'm going to translate the first verb as if it's a temporal clause. Okay, when it's on the third day, or on the day after tomorrow, something like that. Tered, you should go down me'od quickly. All right. Okay, so we're that far. Uvata el hamakom, and go. This is from Bo again. And go to the place, asher nistarta sham beyom hamaaseh. Okay, and go to the place where nistarta, where you hid. Notice that this is from satar, and it's a nifal, so it's intransitive. Where you hid there, beyom hamaaseh. You know the word ma'aseh, but together with yom, it's weird. It's literally, in the day of the deed. This is from asa. Notice you add a mem to the, and it becomes a noun. In the day of the deed. And it's, I think it, most commentaries, had to look this up, suggest that it refers back to the incident in chapter 19. Right at the beginning, where Saul was mad at David and threw a spear at him, and Samuel urged him to hide in this one place. And then Jonathan went to that place and they began this discussion. And so that's probably what he's referring to, this recent event. So hide there as at the day of the occurrence, you almost have to translate and understand that they're referring to something in their world that's well known to both of them. So he doesn't have to re-explain it, in other words. Okay? Ve'yashavta, and sit or stay here from Yashav, Eitzel, next to the stone, ha-Evan, ha-Azel, next to the stone, and usually it's taken as a proper name, the stone, the Ezel stone. All right, remember they gave names to stones and stuff? So it must have been a significant place for meetings. See, so, you know, if it's a prominent landmark, that's where people could get oriented to the territory and the area. There is a footnote that suggests that you, if you change the consonants, you can get the this word ha-laz, which means this. That's a kind of a rare form for this. And notice in the footnote 19c, the Septuagint has that reading, as does the Syriac. So some suggest that you translate and stay next to this one stone or this certain stone. All right. So it's convoluted, verse 19. It's a good way to wake us up after the break, right? Any questions through verse 19 about the syntax? Notice how the syntax, especially at the beginning of that verse, is very compressed. And what we're actually trying to do is figure out the way that he's trying to refer to things that are happening in his world, especially this on the third day. Remember, they had talked about when 3 days pass earlier in the narrative as well. So now he uses a verb to describe something of the same action. Well,
You translated that over quickly.
Yeah.
How often would you translate that quickly?
Well, notice that it's functioning as an adverb here, and so it's actually talking about the process of going down, saying something about the process of going down. Now we have to interpret what that's going to be, what that is. All right. So another translation actually has this: go down all the way. So that's different than go down quickly. So you know, in other contexts, me'od means, I mean, the noun means power or strength or might. So a lot of times we use the adverb very, you know, but go down very doesn't make any sense to us here. So we're actually trying to interpret the force, what the adverb is saying about this process of going down. And you can actually come up with different translations. Okay?
Quickly would describe time as an
right.
adverb, and all the way
all
down
way,
would be space.
More space as the adverb. Exactly. Okay, verse 20. Va'ani shaloshet ha-chitzim zita ora. And as for me, shalot ha-chitzim. Chitzim is a word for arrows. And shaloshet is three. Okay. As for me, these three arrows, zida is a noun for side plus the paragogic hey. Three arrows to the side, ora, I will shoot. What's the root of ora? Good, yara. It's a hifil from yara, to throw or to shoot. Okay, and notice the verb comes at the end. Again, in spoken speech, you get non-standard, what we would consider literary patterns. So as for me, the three arrows to the side, I will shoot. Right? Usually that stuff comes after the verb, and it's fairly easy, but here it's all beforehand. Okay. Leshalach li lematara. All right, matara simply means target. This is, I think, the only place this occurs, so don't let it bug you. So I will shoot three arrows to the side. Now the lamed plus a infinitive, this is an infinitive construct from shalach. Okay, so you have to translate, I will shoot three arrows to the side, as if sending them for myself to a target. See? So in very idiomatic English, as if aiming for a target. Okay. Verse 21, Vehine, and look, Eshlach et Hana'ar. I will send my servant, Na'ar, my boy. Okay. And now notice how compressed.
Wait, Na'ar is boy?
Yeah, Na'ar is youth or boy. It's usually, I mean, in this relationship, it's his assistant, his servant. Okay. I will send my, and notice that it has a hey, but I'm translating it as possessive anyway. A lot of times when you have the definite article in a context like this, it's obviously pointing to the servant that assists him. Okay, and notice he goes right into direct speech. Look, I will send my servant, and you have to understand with these words, with this, these commands, Lake Metza, go find et hachitzim, go find the arrows. Lake is from halach, an imperative. Metzah, another call imperative. Okay, so go find the arrows. All right. Any questions up to this point? Yes.
So would that be just like a normal, kind of everyday thing for Jonathan to be shooting?
Yeah, evidently. I mean, you take him out for target practice and go. I mean, it's a little weird for us because maybe he, you know, on the pretense of shooting at a rabbit or something. I don't know, an animal.
You're the rabbit, three times.
Now notice, here's another interesting, this goes in parallel with the me'od in the previous verse. Im amor omar la na'ar. If, now notice you have an infinitive construct followed by the call imperfect from amar. If I say, okay, now how does this infinitive absolute function? As an adverb. If I say, now, so what is it saying about the process of speaking? I would maybe translate it, if I say loudly, see? Or maybe keep saying, but, you know, indicating continuous action. But it makes sense that he's speaking loudly if he wants David to overhear it, see? If I say loudly, to the servant, look, hakitzim, the arrows are mimeka from you, vahena. Hain means here, plus the paragogic hey, to here. Okay, so look, the arrows are from you and to here. In other words, the arrows are between you and me. So picture the rock out here, Jonathan here, and his servant somewhere in between. He shoots the arrows, and then he says, look, the arrows are between you and me. So it's like you're looking for a golf ball in the rough, and you know, you got the rest of your partners downfield, and they're closer in, it's between you and me. Alright? So if I say that, where am I here? Oh, verse 21. Between you and me, kachenu. That's from lakach plus the third masculine singular suffix. Yeah. The Masoretes seem to want you to read this as part of his command. So, if you read it according to the Masoretes, if I say loudly to the servant, look, the arrows are between you and me, kachena, get them. Alright? Get them. In which, again, very often in colloquial speech you have a singular suffix with plural referent. You know, that's very, very common to have an incongruity. Okay? And notice that the Masoretes have you pause after that. But there is a note, they have you pause after that with that little line, that pasek there. But a lot of translations suggests that the kakecha is his directions to David. So you would translate, if I say loudly to the youth, look, the arrows are between you and me, okay, then you, David, take it. In other words, receive the news, okay, and boa, and go. That vaboa is another call imperative, okay, take it and come, for there is peace to you. See? Ve'ein, and there is no davar, you'd almost want to translate as danger. There is no danger. Chayahweh, as Yahweh lives.
So in other words, how are we getting danger from davar?
Oh, davar normally means word or thing. Alright? But here, he's trying to tell him there is something you could translate more generally. There is no issue, or there is no...
You say there's nothing the matter.
There's nothing the matter. That's good. There's nothing the matter. That's good. I like that. As Yahweh lives. So notice the signal is what he says. If David hears him say, the arrows are between you and me, then David is to take that as good news, that there's peace, that there's no danger. Okay? Questions through 21? Yeah, Will.
I always thought the infinitive absolute, along with another conjugated form, that was like surely or very or justification.
Right.
But you say it's like adverbial?
Well, yeah. I mean, it functions as an adverb. But notice, even when you're translating it that way, it's functioning as an adverb, but in a different way. So you could translate it like that. If I say certainly or certainly say, notice he's then you're trying to strengthen the affirmation, which I think is a little awkward here. But it also has the function to modify the quality of the process of the verb. All right. Just like in the previous, the me'od function to talk about how you go down. So I'm suggesting that the infinitive absolute functions how you speak. And in this context, I translate it loudly simply because the context makes sense to me. Okay. A different way to translate it would be, if I keep saying, see, to emphasize, okay, again, what do you, the way that he's speaking, he says it over and over. If I say, it's over here, see, I mean, that's another possibility. Does that make sense to everybody? Good. Any other questions through 21? All right, verse 22. Ve'im ko omar la'elem. But if thus I should say la'elem to the youth, that's a synonym for na'ar, elem. But if I should say to the youth, look, hachitzim, the arrows are mimeka vahala, the arrows are from you and beyond. See? So the first way he says the arrows are between you and here and me. Second, if he says the arrow is from you and beyond. In other words, farther on. So if you hit your golf ball into the rough and someone's down there, you go, no, no, you got to keep going. Okay. Now notice he gives a command, lake, go, for shilach Yahweh. For Yahweh has sent you away. Yahweh, and notice that that's again a PL perfect, and we've had this PL shalach all the way through in different contexts. So Yahweh has sent you away, or Yahweh has released you. Okay. Vehadavar, and the word asher, which debarnu, which we spoke, I and you. Remember before they had just made an oath to each other. Look, Yahweh is between me and between you forever. So Jonathan is just reiterating that the oath that they made, that Jonathan would be faithful to him, still stands, even when David, if David has to escape. Okay. Questions about verse 22?
Can you translate that way?
Yeah.
Between?
Yeah, let me do it again. And the word which we spoke, dibarnu, again a PL, first common plural, the word which we spoke, both I and Atta, I and you, look, Yahweh is baini, between me, that's just bain plus the suffix, is between me and between you, ad olam, forever. He's simply saying that no matter what happens, that oath which we spoke, Yahweh stands between us. So that he's binding the oath, and Jonathan is going to stick with it, stay faithful to David no matter what. That's what he swore earlier in the story.
I have a question about how to hear this narrative. There's been all the between me and between it stuff with the servant fetching the arrow, and then there's this comment about Yahweh between you and me forever. Is that a common enough expression, the use of between and between, that a Hebrew hearer would not necessarily notice it? Or do you think that the way that the narrative is told invites you to highlight that?
Oh,
climactic.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I hadn't thought of that. Whether that between me, so that you kind of see the significance of the between language all
or
the way.
Just that language, yeah, is prominent enough that it focuses your attention on that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Would that just be invisible and not noticed?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I took it at first, that he's simply using a common expression for saying that, you know, if circumstances change and means you have to escape, I'm going to have to stay with Saul. I'm going to stay with my father. But that oath is still going to stand between us. And remember, the oath that Jonathan pledged was to be faithful to David. Good. Verse 24 then. Vayistater David basadeh. So David hid in the field. Again, a nifal from Satar, which we had earlier. David hid in the field. Vayahi hachodesh. And the celebration for the new moon, Yehi, came from Haya. Okay. Vayeshev hamelech. And the king sat at halechem, at the meal. Literally, I mean, we normally translate it as bread, but here, didn't sit at the bread, probably. Sat at the meal, le'ekol, to eat, from akol. Okay? That's simple after the rest of it. Vayeshev hamelech, and, okay, it's reiterating, and the king sat at moshavo, at his seat. Okay, this is kind of interesting. Kepa'am bepa'am. Pam means step, but it also is used in temporal context to mean time, as time in time, namely, as he was accustomed to doing, or as previously, or as usual. Probably in English, good, as usual. See, the king sat at his chair as usual. Now, very little, another little detail, El Moshav, at the chair of the wall. Namely, I would probably translate it, at the chair by the wall. All right. So remember, you know, what movie was it where the card guys are gambling and the guy said he always sits with his back to the wall so that no one can surprise him and shoot him from behind? So that's what I keep thinking of what Saul's doing here. He's sitting with his back to the wall, as usual, because he doesn't want anyone to get him from behind. Kind of an interesting little detail here. But again, you know, maybe just a little background, you know, Saul's paranoia. Saul was... there were probably a lot of people after him. Probably wasn't in a secure position, so he felt that. All right.
I often wondered if Saul just assumed everybody else behaved the way he did.
Yeah, maybe.
He only sees fear from the world.
Right. That's right. Okay. Verse 26. Vayakum Yehonatan. Then Jonathan rose by Yeshev, and Abner sat. Remember, Abner was his general. Sat mitzad Shaul, at the side of Saul. That Zad, remember, is the same word we saw in verse 20, Zida. He shot the arrows to the side, except that Zida has the hay, the paragogic hay on it, and this one is just the plain noun. So, Jonathan got up, and Abner sat at the side of Saul. Vayipaked mekom David. Here it is. And the place of David, vayipaked, was empty. Pakad again, that word, it can mean anything. Okay. Verse 26, Velo deber Shaul me'uma bayom pahu. And Saul did not speak deber me'uma, anything. It's just a noun. Did not speak anything bayom hahu on that day. Ki amar, for he said mikrahu. It is a mikra. It is happenstance. It is a coincidence. Okay? Kara means to happen or to meet, and here's the mem with it. Bilti tahor. Tahor means pure. Bilti, remember, is a negative usually used to negate infinitive constructs. Here, it's not negating an infinitive construct. So again, you get this, what would seem to us to be irregular language in spoken, in a spoken dialogue. All right. So what he's doing is giving a possible reason for David's absence. So. So I would translate Amar, for he thought, see again. So Saul did not say anything on that day, for he thought, it is circumstance. Not pure is he. Surely not pure. In other words, David, for some reason, has been rendered ceremonially unclean to attend the feast. Maybe he touched a dead animal or a dead person or, you know, is ill, anything could cause that. Any mikra, there could be any circumstance that could cause him to not be able to attend, in Saul's thinking. Okay? Questions through 26? And notice how he's speaking. I mean, you can really get the sense that, yeah, this is really spoken language. He's not pure. That's it, he's not pure. See, so he's just kind of reiterating to himself that that must be the reason. Okay? Verse 27, Vayahi, but it happened, Mimacharat HaKodesh, Macheret is the next day. On the next day of the Chodesh, of the new moon celebration, Hasheni, the second one. Okay. Vayipaked Mekom David. The place of David was empty. Alright, we'll read one more verse here. Or finish this verse. Vayomer Shaul, then Saul said to Yehonatan Beno, his son, Madualo Ba Ben Yeshai, why has the son of Jesse not come? Gam Temol, Gam Hayom. Now, here we would say, neither Temol, yesterday, nor Hayom today, El Halachim, to the meal. Okay, again, so Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come, neither Temol yesterday, nor today, to Halachim, to the meal? Alright, so now he's starting to get suspicious, and next week we'll get what happens in Saul's reaction. Yes?
Madua, is that from Yadav?
I don't think so. I don't know. And it might be, but here it does. It's not connected with that at all. It's a simple interrogative why. Just like llama. Llama. So it's synonym with llama. Why? To what?
Well, about on verse 24, Nifal, the first verb there.
Right. Nifal. Right.
Well, we translated, he hid himself.
Well, yeah, or just hid, just in transitive. In English, better English, he just hid.
And Nifal, we can translate that either reflexive or passive?
Nifal can be passive, but it also can be intransitive and sometimes reflexive. And we saw that reflexive with a word like, the Nifal exchanges with the Hittael in a word like to bless himself or to be blessed in the promises God made to Moses, and even have the exchange of the Nifal and the Hittael with Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve hid themselves. Now, whether there's a distinction, there probably is. What it would be and how we would talk about it in English is a different story.
The main function of Nifal is make it passive.
Usually, when you have a call,
right?
But I think that here the hifil of satar. I don't think you have a call. I think you just have the hifil, which is translated the hide. Your money, or to hide a person, you'd use the hifil. To just say the intransitive, he hid, you would use the nifal. See, in English, we use the same word. He hid his money. He hid in a shelter. In either case, it's the same word. One's transitive, one's not transitive. In Hebrew, you tend to have a switch from hifil to nifal, or sometimes called a nifal, I think. Okay?